reminder for us to think about our actions, and as we live our lives, are we letting our light shine, not so that we glorify self, but so that we may glorify God, our Father who is in heaven. And so before I get started, I'd like to mention that we are getting prepared for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, this coming up week of the outdoor meeting at Wonderland Park. And so we want the excitement to continue and to be able to help out in any way. Feel free to ask me. We still have some more brochures that we can hand out. And so if you have not invited someone, I encourage all of us to reach out and extend an invitation to your neighbor, family, friends, or whomever that you might want to encourage, because for all of us, this is a great opportunity to continue to get the Word of God out there. And it's important for us to think about that as we discuss this morning's lesson on fundamentals of faith. One of the things that I would like to challenge us on this morning, and as a congregation, that as while we are getting ready for our second outdoor meeting, there is a buzz in the air. There is an excitement. School is out. Summer is starting, and outdoor activities are starting to pick up. We're starting to plan our camping trips, vacations, and so many other things that we've been looking forward to over the past 6 months. However, my challenge this morning is directly aimed at that mindset. This idea that we can become so fixed on our future plans, our vacations and schedules, that sometimes we can put our faith on cruise control. We must be careful with this idea, because the negative impacts of putting our faith in this kind of cruise control can have aspects of how we conduct ourselves as individuals out in the community. And it's often in the way that we might dress, or in reality, the lack thereof in how we might dress. It comes in the form of attendance and how that starts to wane over the summer months, because we start to focus on camping events. We start to focus on sporting events, vacations, fishing trips, and other plans that become a priority in our lives. Family, we are called to be Christians, meaning that those who have obeyed the plain teachings found in the New Testament scriptures, which we hold in our hands, that we identify as a special kind of people. In fact, we identify as a peculiar kind of people, as the Bible outlines. Not that which we choose to be, or that we think to be, or that we feel to be, or that we hope to be, but that we can open the Word of God, which all of us have in our hands, and as Ephesians 3 and verse 4 says, read thereby so that you may understand, that we open it up and study to see what kind of people God would have us to be. That is my challenge for you this morning. Okay, I'll sit down. No, I'm joking. We've got some more time here, so please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 4 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 4 through 10. And as we're turning there, I want to say how wonderful and a blessing it has been to have Brother George and Joy here with us over the last couple months and continuing to get to know them. I'm sure a couple more months he'll be able to turn into a real gospel preacher. We've really enjoyed the learning from him, but no, all joking aside, it has been a true blessing and a wonderful opportunity to continue to work with them. Let us continue to work together on those aspects. So thank you. And everybody, thank you for everyone being here and in the encouragement we have this morning. So 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you, now watch this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have mercy. Now, when I read this scripture, this set of scripture, I want us to focus on verse 9, and specifically the concept of his own special people, or as the King James reads, a peculiar kind of people, or as the American Standard Version reads, a people of God's own possession. I mean, this is astounding because this idea carries with it the idea of being purchased. You see, in God's eyes, we are a precious people when we follow after him. Consider what's written in Malachi, the third chapter, in verse 17, that we are a precious people in the sight of God, that we are to praise his name, to glorify him, to live a life that's consistent with the pattern that we see in the New Testament teaching. That is the kind of people that we are to be. And in Malachi chapter 3, in verse 17, we read, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Friends, the faithful are precious to God. They are a jewel in the sight of God. How wonderful an idea it is to be a peculiar kind of people whom love and serve God. Amen. Please think about that for a moment and recognize how valuable you are to God. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, scripture we're familiar with, but is always a great reminder for us to consider what our Lord and Savior did for us and how much he loved us and continues to love us. And in Acts 20 and verse 28, we read, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Christ willfully gave himself up, became that perfect sacrifice, as we remember on this first day of the week in his death. So why? So that we can be a part of his family. Do you see the cost of the purchased possession? You see how valuable God's creation is to him? If we were to roll up the word of God in a sentence, I think it could be framed as this way, that the word of God is his love letter for us. If someone you care about writes you a letter, what do you do with it? You crumple it up. Oh, you read maybe just the thing. Well, if you're Tom, what he does is he re-gifts it. So sometimes you'll get a card that says, you know, happy birthday, you know, from your granddaughter. It'll be crossed out and it'll say your favorite uncle or something like that. Kind of cheap, but it's Tom. So we understand, though, that the word of God that we have is his love letter for us. And what are we doing with it? Are we opening it up and reading it and recognizing the kind of people that God would have us to be? Consider what Paul tells the young evangelist in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Paul reminds this young evangelist that he is to conduct himself in a way, a specific way, not one to his own interpretation, not one identified in some self-help book, not one that can be left to the imagination. But listen to what he says to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know. Wait a minute, you mean we can read this and know? Well, of course we can. We can open up the Word of God and recognize God's not the author of confusion. Why? Listen, know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Church, that's what we are to represent. We are to be those kind of people that conduct ourselves in a way that the world can see and recognize. That's where we want to be because they have the truth. We want to be there because that's where the light is. We want to be there because that's where Jesus is. And that should be our chief aim. Amen. We can clearly see a pattern throughout the letters that we as Christians are supposed to be in the light. And we are supposed to be the light in this dark world. How? By conducting ourselves in a way that God has prescribed. But I want us to look back a little bit in Acts chapter 16, 1 and 2, because we read of Timothy here in this first letter, and maybe sometimes we just jump to, well, Timothy was just some random person. Or why is Paul writing to Timothy? But listen to who Timothy was. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, here we see, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. Watch this now. He was well spoken of by his brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Well spoken of. Do you, as an individual whom Christ came to and died for on the cross, take stock, take inventory, care about how you're spoken of in the community? Does that matter to you? How about your children? Does it matter to you how your children are representative of you in the community? Paul in Lystra finds Timothy, and what does the very next verse say about him? That he was well spoken of by the brethren. Friends, we see over and over that throughout Scripture, God commands those who would be called his children walk differently. Walk in a way that's unique, uniquely prescribed as the outlines that we read in Scripture. This means that when summer is here, and it is here, our priorities stay the same. And that is to first seek the kingdom of God and to glorify him. To live in a life that is to be in harmony with what we read about in Scripture. That is to continue to glorify our Father by our good works. Friends, that is to say that when the world says, oh, you know, those short shorts are fine, we say no. Oh, that tank top, the world says is just okay. No. That you want to listen to that kind of music, it's summertime, be carefree, do whatever you want, however you feel, we say no. Because we want to be a peculiar kind of people, recognizing that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us. That's the kind of people we want to be. We say no when the world tells us to do this or that because it makes us feel good. Why? Because we are a peculiar kind of people and we are God's people. In Proverbs chapter 1, this will be a little bit of a read here, but I want us to think about what's being said here. In the book of Proverbs, I encourage parents, grandparents, read to your children over and over and over and over, and then take them to the book of James and show them the pattern that you see. That James is often called the New Testament Proverbs. And go over and read it with them and show them how the Bible teaches how we're to live. And the Bible gives us the clear instructions of the best way to live. And the book of Proverbs is filled with those gems. in Proverbs chapter 1, 8 through 19. Listen to this. My son, hear the instruction of your father. The first point, you need to be listening. In order to hear, you have to what? Have open ears. And anytime the word of God is being read or spoken on, we need to be listening. And do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. You see, the word of God will give us the direction that we need to go. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lots among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk with them that way. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Friends, we need to pay attention to these words here and recognize that we are setting a pattern that is to be found from Scripture. And we've got many young men and young ladies here. And parents, your influence matters. Each one of us are setting an example for the next generation. What example are we setting? Where are we getting that example from? If it's not from the Word of God, it's going to be wrong. We need to be teaching these things as we read about in Scripture to our children and of course, to ourselves. Don't hear what I'm not saying. You don't get a pass. This is equal opportunity preaching. We all have to be doing our part to be the kind of people that God would have us to be. To know that He loves us. You see, we need to be ready to stand in the gap and make a ready defense, the Bible says. To everyone and anyone who asks, why? Not for selfish ambition or glory or self-seeking, but to glorify God. We are to stand on the pillar of truth, as we read about. And in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 10, whose responsibility is it to get the wisdom of God out there? Who holds that responsibility? In Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through who? Through who? By the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Friends, it's up to us who are in the body of Christ to live so uniquely that people can see a difference. To see that we are a peculiar kind of people. We're not like the world. We're not here for show, for gimmicks, for games. We're here to be in the battlefield for Christ. Ready to say, Lord, send me in the battlefield, not because it feels good, but because it is good. To defend God and defend His word. And one way we can defend it is by being those peculiar kind of people that we read about in the Bible. That when we dress appropriately. That when we talk, our words are seasoned with heavenly salt. Not to make bitter. Not to make angry. But just to speak the truth as God so plainly states it in His word. And why is that? Why are we to live this way? Because as mentioned earlier, we have the truth. And the truth, and in the truth, there is freedom. And where there is freedom, there is salvation. And if you have not yet found that kind of salvation in your life, there is only one way to have that, and that is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure about what that means or what steps are necessary in order to be found in the body of Christ, ask us. If something is confusing to you and you're wrestling with a text, not quite sure on which direction to go, let's study. Come, let us reason and understand so that we can work together. Because the only way to heaven is through Jesus. There's no other means but by obedience to his plan. We've been talking about this in the teens class, John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But it's not just the act of going through the motions. I mean, that pew does a good job of holding things up, but it's not saved. It is our actions connected to our attitude. And those things must work together in order to glorify God. So again, my challenge to us, all of us this morning, is what kind of people do we want to be? A people for God or a people outside of God? The choice is up to you. If there's anything that we can help you with this morning, if you need to study, or if you found yourself outside of the body of Christ, let us reason together. And if you're struggling on this life journey, which all of us have been in positions of struggle, please let us work together to find the biblical solutions. If there's anything we can do, please let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.